The long-awaited new novel in the Odd Thomas saga, Odd Apocalypse, is a major kickoff to an exciting year for Dean Koontz. The feature film adaptation of the original Odd novel, Odd Thomas, directed by Stephen Sommers of The Mummy fame and starring Anton Yelchin as Odd, Willem Dafoe, and Patton Oswalt, will soon be scheduled for release. Odd Apocalypse offers an invitation to the legendary, luxurious Roseland estate, where Odd and his enigmatic travel companion, Anna Maria, are led into a twisted labyrinth of danger. Koontz's latest Odd Thomas novel marks the darkest passage yet in his hero's mysterious journey. It's always a pleasure to welcome Dean Koontz to the program. Dean, thank you very much for being with us. We love having you here, as always.
Well, it's always a pleasure being there. Thank you for having me.
When I say that this is your darkest passage yet, do you believe that?
Well, in the Odd Thomas series, to a degree, Odd is on a journey, a seven-book journey, I now know. And along the way, some of the places he goes are a little lighter than others. But Roseland, this estate south of Santa Barbara in Montecito, which was built in the 20s by a movie mogul, looks pristine, looks beautiful, long acres and acres of great landscaping, and everything where you turn is beauty, except Odd being able to see things the rest of us can't, knows there's something dark and very strange going on in Roseland.
What is it about this character that struck your curiosity and brought you to what will be seven novels?
Well, I like the character. He came to me so easily. He was. I like the fact, and I think a lot of readers like this too, that he's a very humble guy. He's very self-effacing. He's not full of himself whatsoever. He leads a very simplified existence. He doesn't own a car. He doesn't have a retirement account because he doesn't think he'll probably live long enough to need one. And he just downsizes everything in his life because he has this talent, of this ability to see the lingering dead, spirits who won't move on from this world, maybe because these people were murdered and they're seeking justice for their killers, maybe because they're afraid of passing on for what may lie beyond, and Odd has to interact with them, which really complicates his life. As Oz said, the dead can be very frustrating, even more frustrating than many living people, which is very strange indeed when you think that living people run the Department of Motor Vehicles.
And ultimately, the character is likable. We feel for the guy.
It's, you know, and partly that's Odd's sense of humor. He knows we live in a fallen world, and that means that the world is darker than it was ever meant to be. But he also knows that when you're living in a fallen world, it's out of kilter, it's off, things are so wrong with it that there's much of it that's absurd, and in the absurdity, he finds humor. And that, I think, people relate to, his sense of humor in any situation, virtually. He finds the light through laughter, and that makes him, I think, rather appealing.
I'm curious as to how you decided that this would be a multi-book series.
I think the decision was thrust upon me by the character. When I finished the first book, I thought, I really want to know what happens to him next. And usually, by the time you get to end of novel, you're so relieved to have finally gotten there that you don't think about what happens to the character next. But in this case, I did. And my publisher at that time wasn't so sure. He thought that Odd was a little too odd, in fact, for most readers, and that for an action lead, that he was too self-effacing, that he didn't bed every woman he met. He doesn't really love guns. He can use one if he has to, but he'd rather pick up an ordinary object as a weapon, like a broom or even in one case a cat. And he said, this is just too odd in a character. But readers felt differently, and that opened the door for me to really be able to carry this on. And it was only over a couple few books that I came to the realization it was a seven-book journey and where he would end up at the end of the seventh book.
So I asked the question because, as a fan of yours, I was some of my favorite books of yours are the two Christopher Snow books, and it seemed like that character could have gone on longer, and yet there's just two books.
There may be a third. Again, it's a situation where you deliver the book and the publisher has certain problems with it, and you think, okay, let's just take a break, and I'll write something outside the series, which at that time it was preferred what are called standalones more than series. But I will finish the Christopher Snow trilogy is what I originally thought of it, and I will finish it. And in fact, I've written a an ebook that is called Odd Interlude that takes place outside the seven-book series of Odd, and it's a almost a full-length novel in its own. And in that one, Odd Thomas ends up in the same locale pretty much as Christopher Snow in this abandoned military base of Wyvern and Fort Wyvern. And I think the day is going to come when those two characters are actually going to meet each other, but I'm not sure. I'll have to find out as they write.
That's fascinating. And so you, not only are you, writing a book and that's a world in and of itself, but sort of on a more global scale, you're creating this Kuntzian world.
It just sort of happens to you. I remember in Odd Hours, Odd is wearing a sweatshirt emblazoned with something that comes out of the Christopher Snow novels. And when that happened, I thought, wait a minute, what am I doing? That's a different couple of novels. They don't belong in this. And then I thought, well, I always let characters have their own way. And if the character does something, I think, oops, that's not a good idea. Back up, take that off, delete all that, and take the scene in a different direction. But I've learned over the years, don't second guess the character. If something comes up and you think, I wasn't planning on that, nevertheless, go with it. It'll lead you somewhere very interesting. And that happens when the world you're creating becomes very real to you.
And do you ever, it seems like you always leave the door open. I look at a book like, I believe, Life Expectancy, where that book, it ended, and it seems like, okay, it could be a standalone, or if you ever wanted to go back to that, you could.
I have somebody right now who has written a one-hour teleplay as a pilot for a series and hopes to set up Life Expectancy as a series, which I think would be a great deal of fun. And one of the when he was talking to one of the networks about it, they said, well, we can see that this is an 8 or 10 hour first season, but where does it go from the end of this book? And this producer was able to say, well, the first book is about five terrible days in a guy's life that he's are predicted when he's an infant. And it's about following him through the next 20 some years as those days occur. But at the end of the book, his third child is born, and he lifts up the child and holds it and welcomes his child to the world and turns the baby around and says, this is the world, prepare to be enchanted. And there's going to be, we know at the end of that book, five wonderful days in this child's life. And then the producer, the network said to this producer, but they're wonderful days. And the first book, Life Expectancy, were five terrible days. And we said, well, you know, five wonderful days might also be terrible. They may just end wonderful. So I think there's ways you can take that series on for year after year if you wanted to do it.
So let me ask you a question. Assume that you create, again, this is back to the Kuntzian world. So you have created that. That is your creation. And when they talk about your characters and bringing that on, would you want to set the record straight first and write that novel about those five wonderful days, or would you let them have at it?
Probably I would write that novel because I had so much fun writing Life Expectancy that I'd be delighted to go back to those characters. They had me laughing out loud all the way through the book, and that makes the book a lot easier to write. And also, I have had the experience of creating a script and an idea and selling it to a network for a series. It was the Frankenstein series. I hadn't written any books in the series. And then the network took the script and got a director who was wrong for it and turned the whole thing upside down. I had to take my name off it. So to prove that the idea in the beginning wasn't as bad as they turned it into, I sat down and wrote the five books in the Frankenstein series. And now there's another network that has made a deal to try the Frankenstein series all over again, but this time based on the books. And I'm already seeing what an improvement it makes in the quality of the teleplays that are being done.
I mean, obviously there's that sort of take the money and run mentality that Robert B. Parker always told me about, you know, where you write the book and then say, okay, you know, you're going to do what you're going to do, and it's going to be different from the books, but you still, in some way, will have your name attached, and I would assume, you know, you care about that.
Well, on the first Frankenstein series, I had to force them to take my name off everything, yeah. And they only ended up doing the two-hour movie. And for the movie Hideaway many years ago, I spent more in attorney fees to get my name off the film than I had been paid for the film rights. So, yeah, you do care, and you hope that it's going to turn out well. And then, but I said to my attorney at one point, I never want to sell rights again, or if I'm going to sell them, if somebody calls up and says, are the rights to this book available for film, tell them, I don't know. Let me go check on that. Then call me and tell me who they are, and I'll decide whether the rights are available.
Well, Odd Apocalypse is the new Dean Koontz novel. And speaking of rights, so this is will be a film adaptation. Odd Thomas is coming out. Stephen Sommers is the director. Anton Yelchin is Odd. Willem Dafoe is in it. Patton Oswalt is in it. That seems like a great crew.
Well, when Stephen was one of those people who called my attorney, and when I really thought he did a great job on The Mummy and The Mummy Returns, but he also did the best Huckleberry Finn ever filmed and the only one true to the book. So I said, I'll talk to him. And Steve turns out to be this just absolutely great guy. There's no Hollywood phoniness about him. And we spent an hour on the phone talking about Odd Thomas, and I said, I think you've got it. I give you the shot. And he wrote a great script. I've seen the finished film, and I really, really like it. And so now we just have to hope that the public will.
Well, I'm sure they will. It is it's a wonderful character and a wonderful series. The latest in that series is Odd Apocalypse, an Odd Thomas novel. It is out now from Bantam. Dean Koontz, I hope you continue to have a wonderful summer, and we look forward to having you back on the program to talk about your next effort.
Well, I always enjoy it. Thanks for having me there.
Thank you very much. Again, Odd Apocalypse is the new Dean Koontz novel out from Bantam. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.